Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for welcoming you to the show. I'm doing trying to do a little different today, and I'm tongue-tied. Anyway, welcome for joining us. I'm Robin Misevich, your host, and I'm so glad that you're here today. So thank you for joining us here at the Transformation Cafe. And we are in the Cafe Book Club with Mother Teresa, CEO. And this chapter this week is called the Discipline of Joy. And a lot of people go, what? Discipline of joy? What are we talking about? And us ladies, right before we got live, we were all are starting to kind of chew on it. So that's good. That's good. So joy is a discipline. Okay, let's think about that. So the quote for the chapter is, the miracle is not that we do this work, but that we are happy to do it. And I wrote down a couple things about, joyfulness to me is a state of being. It's a choice. Of being in that, in being in a place of gratitude within each moment of looking at what's here for me as a gift, seeing how those things of my awareness can help me to have a sense of purpose in the way that I'm feeling led to be interacting with my, with others and myself, and that, that service to others is really service to myself. I want to see what you guys felt about any of that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But, serving others, does fill a part of my soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always feel better when I'm serving.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm doing good work. I like when I do good work. Yeah, I usually feel pretty joyful when I'm serving. Sometimes, if I'm so crusty about it, I definitely am not. I know I'm only messing with myself,
I love that.
Most of the time, if I'm serving, I'm doing it because I really want to, and I'm happy about what I'm doing. Or if I, I used to do a lot in the church, and completely felt overwhelmed all the time with responsibilities to serve, we weren't cleaning the church, we were doing
and
some other things.
And why did you do that, Elena, why did you feel like you needed to do that?
Oh, because that was my responsibility as a child of God, right?
Oh,
according
okay.
to the, according to the group you were it with, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh.
And so now it's like, now what's really cool about, where we're going now is that I feel like now it's a, if you're serving, you're doing it out of joy. Mainly you're doing it out of joy. You're doing it to make heaven on earth. You're making it to do, things better here, And it's not that that wasn't the purpose before, but the purpose, it seemed a lot more selfish, I guess, before. Do you know what I mean? And now, more like, I'm doing this so that I don't go to hell. Do you know what I mean? Or I'm doing this so that I...
Well, that's a good motivator.
I love that.
Okay. How do I know?
Because, gosh, these people really do need this help, and I'm so happy to help them, There's no responsibility for me to help them. I'm just doing it out of the joy of my own heart, helping them. Right.
So, Elena, with that, I'm doing it out of the joy of my heart. Is it like that inner voice of just a sense of, this is something that I just really need to be a part of and to be assisting?
Sure. Right. When I see people who are in need, and I'm helping, now in these days, it's something that. So no one's asked me to help usually, it just all comes from me, and that seems to, or from spirit or whatever, that I feel like, I really need to, this is really good activity I need to be doing. It is helpful to them. It's not even really about what am I going to get out of it or who am I going to tell that I did this or who I report to or do I, kneel down at night and say, thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to serve Susan today. This is just like a simple, pure service.
Mm.
I think that's the difference.
How about you, Aim?
Well, for me, I look at service and humanitarian efforts as everything that I do. And, you know, that oxymoron between joy and discipline, or at least the appearance of it, you know, being almost polar opposites in a way. Because when you say discipline to people, they usually go, wah! You know, and joy is like, wait a minute, how can you have those two things in the same sentence? So for me, I really work to make sure it's not from a place of obligation by anybody's part. But even there are some things that I have to do because they're part of the maybe assignment I took on or somebody else's expectations that are important in the puzzle. And I was like, can I do this from a joyful place? And no matter what it is, and it's almost kind of goes hand in hand with, can I be mindful to me? Can I do this in a mindful way and consciously? So I, you know, so I think it's going to be a, you know, a really great conversation because so much of it is we were, you know, you being a humanitarian, being of service, implies that you're not paid also. And I don't agree with that. A lot of service I do, humanitarian work that I do, I have no problem receiving money for. So it's really about, it's an interesting conversation. I really want to support people in looking at what is service to you, what is being a humanitarian, and how do I do that? How might I do that? Start looking at mentors. So for me, it's like, you know, looking at that.
Amy, how does this relate to you, like the discipline that it takes to be able to do these, to do the work that you do?
Like yeah, that, thank that you. That's, you know, a good movement, you know, and so, you know, moving into what you did, the discipline and moving, you know, and I kind of want to move into, and you're talking about, this is so fat, don't procrastinate. And I think that's where a lot of, we talk about discipline and we talk about the joy being sucked out of things. We start labeling people as procrastinators, which I don't use that word. I know a lot of people come to me and say, I'm a procrastinator, or that person's a procrastinator. For me, it's about, why are you not doing something? And taking the time to look at that and analyze the part. I know analyze is great, but just as like making it into smaller steps that maybe you don't want to do it, or you don't understand it, or it's you need to break it into a smaller part. So I shouldn't, well, bottom line, when you start labeling people in general, right, you get in trouble. But even in the procrastination part of the book here, she talks about whether she was in Baghdad, Boston, or Bolivia, she was doing something challenging every day, every month, every year. And she was a joyful leader by example to her sisters, the volunteers, the poor, and the world. And then she talks about, you know, leadership as in life, discipline is about doing. So if something's important to you, in my opinion, you make time for it. And I'm a big fan of how you find a way to do it that your whole life is in harmony. And how do I make sense of that? And then, and since I had this conversation, you know, today with somebody that I was supporting, and they were talking about, you know, being worried about the future, and I just said, okay, what do you want to see in the future? You know, let's say 6 months from now, what is it that you really want to see, you know, in several areas of your life? And we talk about the seven Fs: family, fun, your career as in firm, finances. And looking at all these different areas and say, you know, adding some imagination, where would I want it to be? And then, okay, what steps are you going to have to take this week that'll get you in that trajectory? And what if someday starts now? What if what you do today, the discipline and the actions you take today are what create that tomorrow? So to me, that alleviates, though, the need to worry, because you're putting energy into your future by what you do today. So I think that's how it makes it easier for me, going, I can see the actions today are going to pay off in fruit later. So I think it's having that helps bring the energy and the joy. And, you know, she talks about it somewhere in here. And our dear friend Alf with the Peaceful Heart Network, you know, talks about his grandmother. If it ain't fun, you ain't doing it right. And I believe you can do anything and do it in the spirit of joy. Nothing. One of the things, you know, I work with a lot of people doing amazing work all over the planet. And the ones that I find that, are burning out are because they're doing it from, these are different options. I'm not saying it's always the same for everybody, but from obligation, because they think they're supposed to do it for some reason and the way they're supposed to do it, and they have to do it so seriously, or that it has to burden them. But I believe if service is done in joy, you don't get burned out, and you're doing it in balance.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, if there's that kind of angst in something that you're doing, you know, step back a little bit and say, what about this is making me feel uneasy or unbalanced or whatever, and maybe I need to kind of have to do a reset. You know, do I still do want to do this? And if I do, can there be a way that's, you know, beneficial for everybody that could be, you know, moving into a different way of looking at it? And sometimes that's just sitting around with people that you are participating with and just maybe having just everybody feel like they can have a brainstorm about that. And nobody's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of putting everything out on the table and seeing that, you know, maybe some other people have been feeling that, but they didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of times. If we can really let it slide, and, you know, how can we support each other? And how can we be really clear? I know there's I support a lot of really great causes, and what I do today for organizations is different than I used to. I used to be a lot more in the trenches with organizations that I support, and now I'm more of a mentor. Now I'm more of a cheerleader for those you know doing the work. I have no problems, you know, making copies and coffee or moving things. But in terms of the rate of return of what you're going to receive from my expertise at this point is really me stepping into that mentor role, that advisor role. And so it's like me being really clear about that. What are the causes that I want to support? And what's the best way with the time that I have, the life I want to have, and finding that balance? And, you know, it was teased that, you know, I work for my father's business and that I want to do my father proud. And so I am always thinking about that with anything that I do. And I want to, you know, look up and see, you know, my earthly father certainly smiling, but my heavenly father too. And I believe that they want me to be happy.
Let's hope so. But I mean, you know, you can get caught in that whole, I do it for approval, and you have to be careful about that. And I think hopefully as you get older, you kind of move to a different place with that. Like you said, I'm going to be somebody who can be a mentor or be, you know, an advisor with those kinds of things instead of being in the trenches with all those things. So, I think
Go ahead, Alana.
No.
My question to you is, I mean, you know, you deal with a lot of people. So what is the thing whenever somebody is really struggling with discipline, what is something that you give them to help them to become? Because, like, I have given up on being disciplined in my life completely.
I think for you, what I want to support you in is getting rid of the word discipline and find a word that works for you. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's so much baggage of the word discipline for you.
I used to say, we don't do a schedule. We have a routine. So you have a schedule.
Yeah, I love
routine, and that was much more helpful. And so,
so I think that's
so,
part
like,
of
it. Didn't really matter
help,
what
your
time.
Thank you.
What time
for bringing that
down,
to the table,
you know,
right?
It all happened. Yeah.
So it's looking at what are my trigger words? Like I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I said discipline, and she almost had a heart attack. I'm like, okay, let's. It's a trigger word for a lot of people. So maybe it's like habit. What habits are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What daily action? So what I do is I support people, right? And you said, I love to, like, look at 6 months from now, where do you want some area in your life to be? Just pick one, whatever your health. Okay, let's pick that. And then you know, looking at, so what are some steps? Because, you know, weight loss is, you know, it makes no sense. Focusing on that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I'm going to eat more vegetables, eat less sugar this week, and I'm going to walk 15 minutes a day. All right, try that for a week and see what happens. So, and mm-hmm. if that's too much, you know, then you're like, okay, this next week, what are at least one thing that I'll do? And she, you know, she talks about that in here, about her running. Let's look at that a minute. How Ruma talks about, I have committed to running. But she said, no matter how I plan my days, at some point I will have a conflict between my planned run and an emergency at work, a need from a friend, just not wanting to do it, excuses, da-da-da-da-da. And she said, by applying Mother Teresa's joy of discipline, I get different answer. Just run today, even a little bit, and be happy with myself for keeping the discipline. So let's replace the word discipline. But it's just like, what is it? And I know for myself, you know, COVID really kind of knocked me off center with a you know, few areas in my life. And health metrics got all wackadoodle. And so I had blood work taken, and then I had I was going to have it taken 6 months, you know, later. And my doctor didn't want to change anything because of the whole COVID effect, right? So that's what I did. I just took small measures and just really focused each week, and my numbers vastly improved, and they're all in the normal range. And I didn't do any drastic measures, and that's why I want to encourage people here. It's like you don't need to take drastic measures. Just it's that slow and steady is what gets you where you want to be.
Yeah, and it's the typical thing of, like, you know, you just move into, like, I love the word practice. Move into
mm-hmm.
28 days
mm-hmm.
of
yeah,
moving that
practice.
Into just part
yeah,
of your routine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I started
yeah.
looking up all the other words for discipline and like,
oh, there you
practice
go.
Works for me.
So when you think, right, so
control,
let's say, you know, staying in the game, let's just say that,
words,
right?
You kind of go,
you,
yeah, practice. Mm-hmm.
So you
yeah,
want to stay in
practice.
The game. You want to win more than you lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have when you're trying to stay in the game? You have cheerleaders. I mean, aren't we that
mm-hmm.
for each other? Don't we each have teams mm-hmm. of people that encourage
mm-hmm.
us and, you know, part us? And there's other people we can look to who will criticize us. Do not call them. Get with the people. I mean, certainly we want people to be honest with us, but we want them to be unconditionally loving and supporting and helping us move to where we want to be. And the kind of exercise I do today in my life is different than I did when I was in my 20s, right? So it's about, let's be realistic too. Let's find, you know, goals and measures that are realistic to the life that we want to have, the balance that we want to have. So just looking at those parts, you know, of course being your own cheerleader, but it also helps to have, you know, outside cheerleaders and outside support. And I believe that joy is a choice. It's a choice
mm-hmm.
all the time. And do I mm-hmm. take that step or do I not take that step? It's always a choice.
Well, the one thing it reminded me of is we've talked before about laughter yoga. And when
mm-hmm.
I learned how to do laughter yoga and be a facilitator, you know, they said it's really important for people to understand that when you're laughing, you get to a point where the body doesn't know the difference between whether you have a forced,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a prompted laugh as opposed to just natural laugh. And after a while, you're going to have the natural
mm-hmm.
laugh. So it's the same thing with joy. If you're coming from that place of like, you know, I can choose to have joy in this moment, and I keep putting joy there instead of other things that I have done in the past, which I don't do anymore. I think it's important to say, I used to not do joy, but I don't do that anymore. I allow myself to be in the place of joy. Because people,
mm-hmm.
it's just like with laughter and stuff like that, people are afraid to be in a place of laughing just because they can. It's just like being joyful
totally
just because they
you.
Can.
Yeah,
yep. They're afraid of the whole idea of just, I'm, you know, I can come from that place of joy. People look at you
mm-hmm.
like, what's wrong with you? You know, are you on something or what's happening here? And it's
mm-hmm.
like, I'm
mm-hmm.
choosing to be in practicing my joy. And I really
right.
love
don't you
how the
see what's going
really
on in the world?
About.
Don't you understand people
yeah.
are suffering? Yeah. And,
yes.
and one of the
yes.
best gifts you can give anybody, you know, Mother Teresa was really good at that, was a smile.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I love how it talks about that, about, you know, how a smile mm-hmm. is just such a big, you know, fuel for happiness and being something that can really be something that be tapping in for good. I remember that when COVID first was going down and I just felt, you know, my spirit was just saying, you better get down to Walmart and go get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, so, and, you know, and my husband Annie and I would go down to Walmart and everybody's freaking out. I mean, there's a freak out going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I literally just thought to myself, I'm going to smile at everybody. And I already had my mask on, but I was smiling at everybody yeah. under my mask. Because your eyes yeah. are, you know, the window to the soul. And people would just kind of see me, and I could just see their shoulders kind of drop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, you know, oh, okay, my favorite whatever, you know, pancake mix isn't here, but I can get pancake mix. Or, gee, maybe I'll buy everything that I need to make it from scratch.
Right.
And, I can think of a different way of handling the situation.
In a joyful way instead of I'm so mad. And certainly if you have feelings, you need to address them, be with them, journal, go do whatever. But know that you know, be honest with your feelings. But you can, you know, allow that joy to be part of what you're doing, even in tremendous sadness. You know, I know we've all had to deal with some really scary things the last couple of years. And I'm supporting mm-hmm. a lot of people in very dark places. And there's that mm-hmm. balance. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and I've never been able to find where it comes from, but is act like everything you did could change the course of the planet while laughing at yourself, thinking anything you did would make any difference whatsoever. And that's that mm-hmm. balance. You know, it's like mm-hmm. taking action one step after another, walking towards, you know, like, you know, getting a college degree or certificate or making a dinner that you're happy with. Whatever it is, it's like you got to, you know, get a recipe. You got to, you know, get the ingredients. You got to come up with a plan, you know, and then taking that action, but also doing it and enjoying. Let's talk about food a minute. I believe that it's really important to put love in the food that you're doing. And love and joy mm-hmm. go hand in hand to me. You know, when I'm cooking from a joyful place, the meal certainly tastes better to me. Is it better? I don't mm-hmm. know. But it seems like it is.
Well, you know, they've done studies on that, just the quality of things like that, just like the power of prayer, the power of positivity when you're doing different actions. And they, you know, the chemical compounds are adjusted. You know, there mm-hmm. there is a difference. Yeah. So to say that, you know, oh, it won't matter. Well, yeah, you know, you feel crappy. The food's crappy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ms. Robin, when, you know, we think of the nature elements and flowers and flower wisdom, when you think of joy and discipline, what comes up for you in terms of a flower or something from nature?
Well, I think of a rose, and I think that, you know, the discipline in the way that roses are grafted. I mean, you know, you can go to Bakersfield here in California, and they're always grafting different roses together to get new new varieties. But it's that mother root that has the discipline of holding the integrity of the genetic line. So in having that, I just, you know, go all the way to the point of thinking about rose hips. And, you know, once mm-hmm. a flower has gone through all of its cycles, you know, here you got that wonderful gift of a really nutrition, you know, dense, you know, expression of the rose that's the rose hip. So it's all these different practices that it does in being able to give back to the earth and then back to itself and being able to have that whole thing of going through the different seasons of life, different experiences of life, and then coming back to a spring where we'll be able to blossom and bloom and go through the cycle all over again in just a different way because we were in expressing ourselves in a different way that the essence has changed because we've changed.
And thank you. And roses are so amazing, and they carry really high vibration, right? They're the highest vibration.
Very high. Yeah.
Flowers.
And orchids. Yeah. Orchids and roses are one of the highest. Mm-hmm. Any flower
when in doubt,
it's always good to have a little bit of a high. Go hang out. Yeah.
Have them
around. It should be your best buddy.
when
best buddy being a flower. There you go.
When in doubt, get some flowers, right? And So one of the elements that they talk about in this chapter was, if it can get done now, do it. And I know for me that really helps. One of the things that I do is try to keep things taken care of as I go and make that a habit. By doing that, it frees me to be able to do other things. Instead of when things get so overwhelming because I didn't do things, right, that I could have done in that moment that would only take me a minute, they end up taking me 10 minutes, right?
Right.
And so so part of that is creating that habit, and especially when you live with other people, hopefully they can help you with that too, because that starts compounding things. But if you can do it in that minute, right, like make someday now. So you don't, and I just know, especially through COVID, that I really created some really good habits, because instead of piling things up, I would just take care of them as real time as possible. And I found it gave me a lot more opportunities to be spontaneous, a lot more opportunities maybe to do some deeper organizing, or, you know, just goof off time, because I absolutely did that. And I have a bit of a practice, if you guys are open to it, that I'd like to try.
Okay.
Would you like to try? So what I want you
to
think about. All right. Alana, will you play with us? Okay.
So
what I want you to think about is something that you want to make a practice, something you want, whatever that is. That's something that you want to bring into more of a, I just do that normally. I don't even have to think about that. I just do that, which will be tied up in, of course, you know, creating a practice and taking steps. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the heart breath. We've done that before. So what you're going to do is you put your hands on your heart, and you're going to breathe in nice and filling up the belly, filling up the chest. Hold that. And you're going to breathe out. And now I want you to we're going to take three breaths all together. But now what I want you to do is I want you to think about something that you want to bring into a practice. And now as your hands on heart, breathing in again, you're going to breathe that in. And you may have a little bit of trepidation. I'm like, oh, God, I've been trying to do this. That's okay. Breathe it in. And as you're breathing out, breathe out all that. Oh, I can't do it. I'll never be able to do it. Ah. Now, on this next breath, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine, you know what, some lightness. You know, you've seen yourself smile, giggle, even belly laugh at the fact that, well, you know what, I'm doing this. I'm actually doing this. So breathe in that lightness, that laughter, that giggle, that belly laugh about, I can do this. And you're breathing out. Come on, Robin, do it with me. Oh.
Just like joy, man. I'm telling
breathing
you,
in that I'm doing practice and breathing out that I can do this. And you've got this. And through it, you know, acting as if everything you did could change the course of the planet while laughing at yourself, thinking anything you did made any difference whatsoever. We got this. You already have an A. You're doing great. You just want to do a little bit easier, a little bit more fluid. You want to have a little more harmony. Just take it one step at a time. Look at the next week, what would you like to have done a little better? Just say, each day I'm going to do something really simple and easy. If you want to work on your writing, spend a few minutes every day doing some writing practices, whatever the thing is. You want to have a certain relationship, you want it more connected. Spend a couple of minutes a day for the next week having a connected conversation with that person. Just break it into small steps and do it with lightness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Thank you, Amy. That was awesome. So one thing I really like about this book, which is that always at the end of the chapter, it is a little bit of a summary. So, you know, in discovering the joy of discipline, it's if you can do it, if it can be done now, do it now. And to me, that's like, to me, it's even a dance about, if I do this in less than 2 minutes, I'm going to do it. So that was kind of where I was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one says practice discipline. And I just said practice, practice. Just be practice.
Mm-hmm. Release the word that discipline.
Today I'm going to be, you know, making the effort to have it know what I'm doing with it. And then take your work seriously, but never yourself. I think that's a good thing to do too. Take joy in all that you do. And then I wrote a few more. I said, be a joy agent.
Amen.
Always be seek to be finding your fun. Be open and spacious and seek to see the daily miracles that surround you because they're.
And you know who you can call that's going to make you giggle. Maybe call them once in a while.
And, you know, it's just like anything. You're going to buy a car, you know, you start looking at the car everywhere you look. That car is like everywhere. If you say joy abounds, you're really asking the universe to help.
That's
you
right.
You're seeing it everywhere. So that's the answer. I'm like, help me to see things. Joy.
I can't hear Robin very well.
Maybe
for whatever
reason,
I have a hard time seeing. Robin, you're cutting out, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. There you are. That's better. Nope. It's still bad. So sorry.
So just bring us home, Robin. We're right at time. Bring us home. Whoop, we got there.
Having technical difficulties? Stand by.
There we go. All right.
There we go.
Thank you,
everyone,
for practice.
Practice, practice. See, you still got
to
practice.
We hope you enjoyed listening
to
the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.